right, you're on the Arms Room with Glenn.
And John.
And our volume's messed up again, Mason, as always.
It's echoey. It's fine.
Echoey.
No, it's not.
Oh, Mason says it's okay.
Oh, well, if Mason says...
Why is it so loud in my head? In my headset?
Because I do what I want.
Ah. That's nicer. One of these days, Mason, you're going to set up the board exactly the same way that it was set up last time.
One of these days, you're going to do it yourself.
One of these days, it's probably true, because I'm probably going to fire you. All right. All right. Oh, we're in the Cowtown studio, brought to you by Cowtown Range, and John is showing me pictures that are distracting me. Stop.
I'm sorry.
All right, and this show brought to you by...
I like distracting.
...by pictures. Our friends at AR500 Armor. I checked out their new shop last week.
It's pretty dope, right?
It is amazing.
Is it open yet?
No, it's not open.
Not
open
yet. They're working on it.
It is not open. Not completely. But it is... When it is going to be open, I mean, it's amazing. Their capacity is way more than it was before. They're still, you know, working to get everything up to full capacity, but their capacity will be way more than it was before. Their store or their showroom is going to be incredible. Their offices are great. I mean, way more space. So it's great. Make sure you check them out, AR500Armor.com. It's been a blast to watch those guys grow their business and just how much they've gone from, you know, trying to get stuff out on the market to being, I think, really one of the premier, you know, armor manufacturing companies out there. So pretty awesome.
They're kind of a big deal.
They are kind of a big deal. They're quite a big deal. All right. This last weekend, we did our open range days out at Cowtown.
That was fun.
It was awesome. It was a little slow. First weekend we were open, so it was a little slow, but not too bad. So make sure if you are anywhere within driving distance of Cowtown in Peoria, Arizona, that you listen up, because our next open range days are going to be November 14th and 15th. And November 21st and 22nd. So really, really awesome stuff going on out there. We had full auto shooting. We were renting out the Barrett. We had tactical yard sale. We had the big old 5-ton truck out there mobbing around a little bit. Our new bay that's open for shooting, we got set up really pretty nice. And the biggest thing about our range out there is that we don't have as many restrictions as other public ranges because of the way that our management's set up. So if you're tired of going and waiting in line and shooting at really boring, crappy ranges, you know, come out to Cowtown. All right. Most other ranges suck. I don't go to public ranges and shoot. I have not fired a shot at a public range on the public range for years.
Yeah, it's been
years for me.
4, 5?
It's boring. Six. It sucks to me. I don't want to go sit at a table and have someone bark at me.
It's been at least 6 years since I went to a public range, like on an open range, you know.
But Cowtown Range is very different than that. You know, we've got steel up on our bays. We've got the long-range platforms open. You know, people can shoot all the way out to 1,100. We're renting out the Barrett, renting out full auto stuff. We've got the yard sale. We've got an action bay open so people can come and do shooting and moving if they want. We'll even set up some targets. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff that's going on. So make sure that you check out the open range days. Next ones, let me pull those dates up again, November 14 and 15, and November 21 and 22. You want more information? Shoot us over an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll give you all that information. One cool thing we did on Saturday.
Yes.
Because we were bored, and we had a lull in shooters, so we went over to Modern Arms, and we grabbed up their saw, and we hooked it onto the Tom car, and we drove around in the bay cruising and shooting the saw. It was freaking awesome.
That was a riot, bro.
We had a great time doing that, so lots of fun.
So fun.
All the kinds of stuff. And those are the kinds of things we're going to be doing more and more at the range, even during open range, where we're already talking about, you know, allowing other people to come out there and do some shooting and moving with the saw from the Tom car. It's a blast. It's a total blast. So, you know, we're a very, very non-traditional range. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do. So make sure you come out and check it out because it really is phenomenal. All right. Did you hear about the D-boy got killed?
Is that the mass sergeant?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody was willing to admit got killed to begin with. Is that what the deal
is? Something along there. But basically, they were doing a raid. He was with the Peshmerga, and they were doing a raid, and you know, he got killed by some small arms fire. Which is, it's always like one of those things where we had 30 personnel over there. This guy, his career is insane. He was a Ranger, joined SOCOM in 2004, deployed 11 times. to Iraq and Afghanistan, and just insane, man. I mean, and then it goes on to talk about all the awards he's earned and things like that, and just crazy. I mean, this guy's a real freaking G.I. Joe, American hero kind of stuff. So, you know.
America.
Remember, we've still got people overseas.
Yep.
Right? Just because we're not engaged in a huge, giant, newsworthy war doesn't mean that we're not still engaged in conflicts all over the globe as usual. So, remember that. Keep that in mind. All right? You're going to pray for people. Quit praying for people who don't freaking deserve your prayers and pray for our soldiers instead. All right.
Pray for true patriots.
Pray for patriots. All right. What else? What? Anything else, John? Before we get into our stories today,
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think there's anything else particularly exciting going on in my world.
All right. So
other than the fact that I'm about to lose my mind, thank God I only have 10 days left until my significant other comes home. 10 more days.
Can't
come fast enough.
You are a good man, dude. You have been hanging in there very well during this time of trial.
love my mother-in-law. Most men can't say that, but I truly love my mother-in-law. She is a lifesaver.
So let's talk about our topic today, which is how to get people started in hunting, or how to get yourself started in hunting is really what we're looking to do.
It's painful. It's a long, drawn-out, horrible experience. You have to do all of this. No, it's actually
so
not true
John
at all.
John's going to totally take over the mic here, and he's going to give us his how I got started in hunting story. I want you to start all the way from the time that you decided you wanted to do it and you bought a hunting license until we parted ways earlier this morning before coming to the show, and I want you to go all the way through that part. Go.
That's a really short story. So. I decided to start hunting because Glenn said, John, you need to go buy a hunting license so you have something to talk about on this upcoming radio show.
Yeah.
And he's actually been hounding me for a couple of years to go get one. And I finally broke down and went. And so here's how you get started hunting in the state of Arizona. This is, all right, get out your notebooks, get out your pens, because this is a really long, drawn-out process. Go somewhere that sells hunting licenses and buy one. That's it. It's not hard.
Walmart sells them.
Yeah, Walmart, Sportsman's, Game, wherever. Go somewhere and buy a hunting license. Mm. And then find a friend that hunts regularly and ask them, hey, can you take me hunting? Boom.
See, that's the toughest part for me is finding a friend.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, it's not complicated. You don't have to buy any special crap. I borrowed a jacket because I have a cold weather activated sissiness about myself. And it was going to be colder than I'm used to, so I borrowed a jacket from a friend of mine. But that's it. And if you're really, like, if you don't own anything that's remotely camouflaged, go to Walmart. Spend $20-$30 on a jacket if you're a cold weather kind of guy, or $10-$12 on a t-shirt. Boom. Problem solved. Problem staying solved. That's it. That's how it happened.
So now you got everything going, all right?
Yeah.
Now you're ready to go.
Yep.
Well, so tell everyone a story about today, this morning.
So, never been predator. I've never actually been really hunting before in my life. Glenn likes to kill predators a lot. So we go out and we're calling in predators. And the first one comes in and he comes screaming across this little open area, like 15, 20 yards from me. If that, probably close, probably inside of 15 yards. And as I'm pulling my rifle up, like coming up to get on him, Glenn's shotgun starts blasting away. Because by the time I'm up and on him, this thing has already attacked the collar and taken off around a bush. And I was sad-faced for like 3 seconds. And then I was
like, quick.
Then I was like, oh, well, Glenn got him with like, what, 16 rounds? That
It took about 16. I had to open up a new box of ammo to get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
So I was shooting through bushes, man. It was tough. Yeah. No, I did kill it. I killed it.
You did kill it.
It's all that matters. End result.
It was pretty. It was very pretty. Very lifeless after it was.
It was pretty lifeless the next time we saw it.
About three rounds of number four buck, I'm assuming.
Yeah, number four. 3-inch number four.
So we finish up there. We go over to this other stand. And this is a really nice spot, right? And I've got this great view of the collar. And apparently there were two fox that came in directly under the collar.
Directly.
And if I had been 6 inches higher on the hill or 6 inches taller, thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. Appreciate it. I could have probably gotten at least one of them. And then Glenn Still, of course, got another one because it came in from the side. Just out of my, I saw it hop down and then I heard Glenn's shotgun go kaboom. And I was like, God damn it. Got another one. So we loaded up, went to another stand. And this is where it got really exciting.
This is where it got good. This is where
Oh my God. Now this time you should actually take notes. So we go to this other stand set up by a watering hole. If for no other reason, go hunting just because it'll get you out into parts of your state or your town or your area that you've never seen. And it is absolutely gorgeous at 7 o'clock in the morning outside. Oh my God, it was amazing. So we go and we set up on this little watering hole and we're sitting there and the collar's going and this fox comes out and he's like 12 yards in front of me. He just comes out, puts his little paws up on top of this dirt mound and just stands up nice and tall and proud. He's like, hey man, you should just shoot me right square in the chest. So I did not hit him in the chest. Did not hit him at all. Shot right over the top of his back. It's like, damn it. So he scurries off. A few minutes later, this other one comes in from my left. And I'm like, all right, he's going to pop out right between those bushes. So I go ahead and I get my rifle up. He comes out. The exact same thing, man. Just stands up nice and pretty for me. Two more rounds. No joy. And he scurried off. I thought I got him in the back. But I didn't. So he got away. But it was fun. It was exciting. I now know that I need to figure out my holdovers on this relatively new optic that I've had on my rifle for a year. But it was good. It was fun, man.
So give us some of your lessons learned. What are some important things that you learned this morning? Then we'll kind of get into more of the other stuff, more of the descriptive stuff I want to talk about. But kind of give me some of your lessons learned.
Hunting with a suppressor is amazing. I learned that. That was awesome.
It was awesome being next to you when you were shooting. That was great.
Yeah. Learn your holdovers. Learn your holdovers with that particular ammunition because I was actually shooting a new ammo today, too, that I had never shot through my rifle before. And that's really it, man. Like, those are the two big takeaways for me for today.
All right. Well, good show, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yep,
and
that's
next
it.
Week. All right. So... it was a lot of fun. I love taking new hunters out.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoy taking people out hunting.
Oh, wait. There was one more thing.
Oh,
it all happens very quickly.
It's all very quick.
Very quick.
There probably wasn't a time where we had an animal that showed up in front of us where either one of us would have had more than 5 seconds to shoot at it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, both the ones I killed were from time I started shooting until time the dust had settled. Wait, was
3 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, total. Max. You know, max. It's always going to happen fast with this type of hunting. Now, that being said, the kind of predator hunting I do, for those of you who are listening who are also predator hunters, everything I do is in very thick brush. I mean, my visibility is usually really low, and we're usually really close, and that's the way I like to hunt. That's where, based on my hunting style and my hunting environment, I prefer to hunt. But obviously, if you're out deer hunting or elk hunting or something, it might not be necessarily that close. Not always. I mean, that being said, 2 weeks ago when Mini-Me got his first elk, that was like a 60-yard shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was the farthest shot he might have been able to take in that particular area was maybe 150. So it's just I like to hunt in close areas. I get to get close to animals. Like one thing I was telling John this morning when we were all done is – how many other people out there can say they've been ever that close to a gray fox? How many people can say they've seen a gray fox come in and act and be, you know, in their natural environment? Most people don't ever see foxes because they're mostly nocturnal, or early morning, kind of late evening kind of thing. Most people are never going to see them out there in the wild. Most people are never going to get to see him that close. Most people never see him do things like attack the electronic collar we were using today. Totally freaking jumped into the tree and attacked that thing.
That chick came in and like, she's like, I'm going to eat this thing right out of the tree.
She jumped up, grabbed it, realized it wasn't what she wanted, and tried to get out of there. So most people never get to see animals behave in those kinds of ways, and they don't get to see them that close. So that is a huge benefit of going hunting. There's a lot of times I go hunting without a gun. You know, there's a lot of times I go hunting without the intent to kill anything. I'm just out there having a good time and watching wildlife because I'm still out there in that mindset. So that being said, here's kind of why we want to talk about hunting a little bit today on our show. First of all, in my opinion, all right, get ready. Hunting is a caveman skill. And part of what sucks so much about our society and why so many men are so weak and why so many men are being overtaken, you know, by the world and don't know how to stand up for themselves and don't know how to like take care of themselves, don't know how to take care of their families, don't know how to do man stuff.
Well, there go all our male listeners.
Dude, if that hurts your feelings, then you suck. Stop listening to the show. But, you know, so like part of the reason that so many...
It's a natural injection of testosterone. It is. I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. You know, I smiled the entire 45-minute drive home. Like, no, I didn't kill anything, but I had a blast. It was a riot, man.
It was fun. And part of what I think our society is missing so much is men no longer have these caveman skills.
No.
You know? They don't have caveman skills. They don't know how to hunt. They don't know how to kill. They don't. Killing is icky these days, and we shouldn't hunt, and we shouldn't eat meat, and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, dude, your caveman ancestors would kill you if they heard you saying that kind of stuff.
And eat you.
Yeah, they'd probably eat you. Yeah,
like, easy. Well, the woolly mammoth are slow this year, so we're going to eat Steve because he's being a vagine.
So you got to have caveman skills, and hunting is a caveman skill. Even if you don't become a hunter. Right?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be like a big-time hunter, but like once a month, once every couple of months, I mean, it'd be fun to just
go out and experience it once a season. Even if you don't want to do the killing, that's fine. Go out hunting with somebody. Go out hunting with your camera. See how close you can get to animals. Go out and outsmart another animal, because we are animals, human beings, right? Go out and outsmart another animal who lives in the woods. And I don't mean just like see them out in the woods when you're out at your cabin in Lake Tahoe or whatever. I mean like actually go out where the animals
where they live
are very much in their natural habitat and go see how close you can get to them. If you had to kill them, could you do it? One of my favorite quotes, and actually I'm going to see if I can pull it up real quick, is Colonel...
Cooper?
Cooper, thank you. Just totally mind, just total mind block there for a second. Colonel Cooper, of course, who started Gunsight, and I'm going to read it right now, okay? It's kind of long, so get ready, but it's good, and I totally agree with everything he says here. In our emasculate age, it is considered uncouth to confess to anything resembling a killer instinct. Yet such a thing does exist, and it is worth study. It is fashionable to protest that one does not hunt in order to kill. Yet if one does not kill, hunting is emotionally unsatisfying. This is why some people hunt and others do not. I think it is ingenuous to protest that the killer instinct is evil. Man is a carnivorous predator. You have but to look to his teeth. And though very few men now need to hunt for their food, a good many men do need to hunt for emotional fulfillment. This is not evil. It is as natural as the enjoyment of good food, great art, and fine music. To deny this is simply to look foolish. I know many shooters who are not hunters, and I do not think less of them for this. I know a surprising number of hunters who are not shooters, and while I think this is peculiar, I do not think it is wicked. I must admit that today, in my declining years, my bloodlust has slackened, but this has no moral significance for me. Even today, I hunt whenever I can, and I often play catch and release by snapping in on an empty chamber. The fact remains, however, that there is such a thing as a killer instinct, and it is neither to be extolled nor condemned. In my own family, there are those who are true killers and those who are not, and I love them equally. Judging from my own experience, which is a thing one ought never to do, I feel that those without the killer instinct lead somewhat diminished lives, as do people who are tone deaf or colorblind. But I think we should drop psychological pretense in this matter and face facts as they are. I happen to relish chili very much, but I do not demand that you do. It is not a moral issue. I love that quote, and it's long, but I love it. You know, because in there he talks about like, look, you don't have to be a hunter for him to, you know, be your friend or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you need to understand what the killer instinct is. And you need to understand the killer instinct is not a bad thing. You should go out and you should hunt and you should possess this caveman skill. Just as I said a few minutes ago, even if you don't go out and you don't want to kill something, if that's not what you want to do, fine. But go out and see how close you can get to something. Just like he talked about, you know, in his aging years, his bloodlust is slackened, so he just snaps in an empty chamber. Great. Bring your empty gun if you don't want to kill anything. And click dry fire on animals. If you wanted to, you could have, right? That's what's important. That's what's important to know. Like, if I wanted to kill it, I could have killed it. And I just think that's, again, it's part of what our society is lacking, is we keep getting away more and more from, like, caveman skills.
That's
people don't know how to take care of themselves.
We don't need caveman skills anymore.
But you do.
We have cars and grocery stores and.
It's true, and
flavored food product.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about it from a standpoint of like, oh, zombie apocalypse, Russian paratroopers. We're gonna have to go, you know, grow our own garden and go live off the land because that's not realistic. But here's what's realistic:
a lot of people starve to death if that happens.
Yeah, there would. The problem is that if we are not pursuing our caveman skills, one of which is hunting, which we'll talk about more in a second, but if we're not pursuing those skills, then as man, as human beings, right, mankind, we start to just diminish. Mm-hmm. We start to not be able to take care of ourselves anymore. It's like the movie...
Wall-E.
Yeah, it's a cartoon Disney movie, but watch it.
Well, there's a message there.
There's a lot of messages there.
Or I want a scooter that carries me around everywhere I go.
Shut up.
Or the movie... what's the other movie? Idiocracy.
Yeah.
It's same similar kind of stuff where people just don't even take care of themselves anymore. Like, they don't even possess the drive. They don't even possess the motivation to go out and take care of themselves. They'd rather just be taken care of. And we see that already happening in our society. And I believe that hunting is a huge portion of that. I believe that hunting is a great caveman skill. If you have never hunted before, you should go. And if you don't like it, fine. But at least you can say you went out and you tried it. And, hey, I didn't like the dead animal, I didn't like the blood, I didn't like the whatever. Fine, great.
Significantly less blood than I expected. Like, almost none.
Well, I was also, if you would have hit him with your 223, it would have been a different story. I was shooting buckshots. A different, doesn't do as much damage as the movies show. But get out and hunt and try it out. So that's kind of a little bit about, I think, why, you know, why we should hunt. But let's talk about how to get involved in hunting, right? So everyone listening who's never hunted before is like, well, yeah, I'd like to go hunting. Or people who are listening who have gone hunting and they want to take their friends hunting are like, well, my friends don't want to go hunting. My wife doesn't want to go hunting. My kids don't want to go hunting. How do I get them involved? All right, so here's my take on that. Step one, you have to generate some kind of interest in wanting to get out there. So if you've got someone, for example, who doesn't want to go hunting with you because they don't want to see something die, then great. Take them out hunting, no guns, right? And just take them out and see how close you can get to animals. Show them how cool it is when you're out there in the animal's home and you can get, you know, really close to them. You know, show them what an animal looks like at, like you said, 7 o'clock in the morning. The outdoors is a whole other world.
Yeah, it is.
And when you're out there and it's, you know, 7 a.m. and the sun's just coming up and the birds are tweeting and you're watching elk drink from a water hole or something. I mean, that's freaking incredible stuff. It's amazing. I've seen more amazing things from wildlife when I wasn't hunting them, but I was out there either hunting something else or, you know, I was in the hunting mode. Maybe I was trying to get some photos or maybe I was just out there trying to get close to animals.
Everybody likes to pick up National Geographic and some of these other outdoor magazines and look at the pictures of the wildlife.
Right.
Well, getting those pictures isn't difficult.
Right.
Like, I learned that today. Getting those pictures, like, I've always looked at those, but God, that's got to be hard to get those shots. You know, that's got to be hard. It's got to be hard. No, it's not. I could have gotten some beautiful shots of those foxes this morning. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely perfect photographs of those guys at under 15 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as hard as you might think it is. And it's a lot different looking at it for real in, like, human eyeball HD than it is looking at it on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more fun, man.
Way better.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of one way to get people interested, you know, get people into the outdoors, take them on a short hike. None of the hikes we did today were prohibitive. Mm-mm. None of them were like if someone was, you know, disabled or somebody was not in very good health or someone just didn't want to walk very far or whatever. What's the farthest we walked today? Maybe a quarter of a mile, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, it's just not we didn't go very far. So that's not necessarily a block. You know, too many people see like giant hunting backpacks and they think, oh my gosh, I got to hike for miles and days to get back into this hunting spot. But that's not true. So don't allow those kinds of things to stop you from getting into hunting. Now, let's talk a little bit more about kind of what it took to get involved since this was your first hunt. So gear-wise, you needed a camo jacket.
Yeah.
Which technically you had.
I had one, but like I said, I don't particularly care for the cold.
Right. It wasn't a warm jacket.
I've been in the Phoenix metro area far too long now. So I borrowed a jacket from a buddy of mine who had a bunch of – he used to work for Under Armour, so he has a bunch of their hunting line stuff. Mm-hmm. He just let me borrow a jacket because I knew it was going to be cold.
I teach a every year I teach a class called the Coyote Clinic, where I take people out and I show them, you know, how to predator hunt. It's a 2-day class, and it's a lot of fun. And one year I had a buddy of mine who had never hunted anything before, and he wanted to come through the class. And so I told him, like, hey man, I've got an idea. We're gonna go to Walmart and and we're gonna totally outfit you in camo. We're gonna see what it costs. And I don't remember the exact cost now, but I remember it was under $100.
Oh, yeah. You could probably have easily done it at the right time of year for under $75.
I mean, this was during the fall when they had all their normal. But it was like pants were like $20. A shirt was like $10. You know, gloves and a face mask was another, you know, $15 or something. A nice – it was got like a cheaper – one of the cheaper camo jackets and a baseball cap. I mean, we had everything fully outfitted for less than $100. And don't get all gay about your freaking camo patterns either. It doesn't freaking matter.
I wore khaki pants.
Yeah, I wore my Kohl's –
Real tree, moss, whatever. I have no idea.
Whatever that pattern is.
Yeah, whatever that
pattern is. Got a combination of natural pattern or natural colors. I wore my Kohl's pants and a Marpat top and my ATAX baseball cap. That's it. You know?
And a face mask.
I did have my face mask. I don't know what pattern that is. Some real tree, mossy oak.
Real tree, mossy oak,
fake. Leaves, grass type. Thing
fake outdoors,
whatever. I mean, and just for my description there, none of my camo even matches. None of it's the same pattern, and I don't care. Look, I have slayed truckloads of animals, okay? Truckloads, from small ones to big ones. All right, I have never worn any camouflage that matters. You know what most of my camouflage is? BDUs,
yeah,
your naked skin.
That sometimes just a loincloth, sometimes not even a loincloth, Mason.
Just a little bit of mud.
Just throw some mud on there.
And the blood of your enemies.
The blood of my enemies. No, it's just BDUs. Surplus camo is fine. Not ACUs. Those things suck. But multicams, Marpats, old school Woodlands, whatever, man. It all works just fine. Mm-hmm. You just need something that's going to break up your pattern and blend in with your environment. So whatever your environment is, you want colors to do that. So outfitting and camouflage doesn't need to be this. You can go to Bass Pro or Cabela's. You can go believe all this freaking marketing hype about all you need all these awesome patterns to blend in. Look, it doesn't really matter that much. If your colors match the terrain and you are breaking up your outline, you're doing a great job. Now, I'll throw on like some leafy wear. I've got a leafy, like 3D leafy jacket. I got a ghillie suit I'll wear sometimes during the wintertime. I'll wear that kind of stuff because it does help break up your outline that much more. So don't necessarily discount those kinds of things. I think the 3D leafy stuff is awesome. That stuff's incredible. It really helps break up the outline. But again, it doesn't have to be crazy. You don't have to go crazy.
And even those you can get pretty cheap.
Yeah. You know, you look around, you'll find them cheap. You just don't have to go nuts. So the point is, you don't have to go insane to buy camouflage. I mean, you can if you want. You want to go drop $1,000 on camel patterns? Well, you just go right on ahead. But there's no need. And even like you talked about, I know last night you were like, oh, I'm just going to wear my multicam top.
Yeah.
And then you decided
to plan. Oh, I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of cold.
But then you think, okay, it's kind of cold. So just put on a good performance fleece underneath. Like if you already own good outdoor performance clothes and you're like, oh, my gosh, I really like my cool pants.
Could, I
and
could
my
have
whatever.
Layered.
You could layer. Very easily. You know, and so if you find a surplus top that's, you know, Marpat or Woodland or multicam's a great pattern, ATAX, whatever, and it's going to be cold outside, obviously that's not going to keep you very warm, so just throw a sweater underneath. And I like layering anyway because then you can, you know, adjust your layers a little bit. You get too hot in the coat, you're screwed. You know?
Yeah.
You got the coat. You can take the coat off. Now you know, you're down.
That's why I wore
a
green shirt.
But yeah, even a green shirt. I mean, I've killed so many animals in just neutral tones. Even what you're wearing today where you got tan pants and a green shirt. You know, I did the same thing. I've got like kind of greenish pants and a green shirt. I would go hunting in this. Mm-hmm. It's natural tones and it's going to blend in. You know, your camo has a lot. Your camo has a lot less to do with your ability to hide
than your ability to sit still
and use the shadows and use cover and things like that. You know, if you go out into the woods traipsing through the woods like freaking Sherman Tank, then yeah, you need all the camouflage help you can get. But otherwise, just go cheap camo's fine. What else did it take? You had to buy a hunting license.
I had to buy a hunting license.
What was that in Arizona? $37?
$37. Which now, surprised me at first because I'd never bought one and I was thinking $20-$25, you know. It was just kind of this number I had in my head that totally arbitrary. So I found it a little shocking, but
it's not expensive.
No, it's not expensive.
And in Arizona our licenses are good for a full year.
Yeah, they're good for 12 months from the date of purchase. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not the same in every state, but you need to find that out in your state.
And that recently changed. That changed just a couple of years ago.
Used to be calendar year. Yeah. So, you know, just check around and check your game and fish regulations or your Fish and Wildlife Service or your Department of Natural Resources, whatever the government organization are. In your state that runs the game and fish section. Check with them and see what licenses are going to cost. They're for residents, they're rarely cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
You know, and a hunting license will allow you to pursue a lot of animals, mostly small game in your state, but a lot of them. So check into that. So what else did it take? You got your camo now, which was free.
Yeah. I mean,
basically, you spent nothing on camouflage.
Nope.
If you would have had to, you could have put your sweater on and put your multicam top over it. So it still would have been free.
Yep.
All right. So then you spent $37 on a license.
Yep.
Okay. What else did it cost you to get going?
Nothing. Okay. I didn't spend a dime on gas.
You used a gun that you already had.
I used a rifle I had. I used ammo that I had.
You fuel to get to where we were going. That was it.
And a little bit of time. Not expensive.
So it's not a cost prohibitive thing. There's no need to get now. Even if we were going to go,
even the time is not wasted because I mean I've wasted more time sitting on my duff having a Netflix binge, shoving popcorn and candy into my face than I did on that drive up this morning.
We always used to when I was very involved with like predator hunting clubs down here in the Arizona area. We always used to say, and we'd have a lot of hunters who would always complain about like, oh, I can't kill enough animals. And you know, they'd look at those of us who were like really, you know, getting a lot of critters that season. And we'd always say like, well, it's pretty hard to kill them from your couch.
Yeah.
You know, you'll never kill anything from the flat of your back in your bed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you have to get up and you have to get out and you have to go out there and you have to hunt them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not always going to be successful. That's the other thing to take away is you're not always. We had, and I've told you this before, but I really want to make sure you understand this. We had an atypical morning this morning. We had no less than 5 different animals on 3 stands.
Yeah,
that is. I mean, I'm pretty good at predator hunting, but that is an atypical morning
We'll call it beginner's luck for me.
We were batting 1,000 this morning, and
we'll call it beginner's luck.
That's not very common.
I couldn't hit a bullet in the ass with a 2x4 this morning, apparently.
So that wasn't that big of a deal. Now, other things I would recommend, and we're going to get into a little bit more into like guns and gear and stuff like that. But if you're interested in getting involved in hunting, here's something I would recommend. And I would recommend this to you, John, and even Mason, even though I know he doesn't have the killer instinct. But it's something I would still.
Wow.
Even though.
Why would you say that? That hurts.
Something I would still recommend to anybody who's even mildly interested in hunting, go take a hunter's ed class. Take a hunter's education class. In Arizona, the hunter's ed class is, what are you doing, John? That is disgusting.
The inside of my ear canal issues.
Stop that. John is now scratching the inside of his ear canal with his pen. Dude, don't. You're going to poke your brain.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard.
Zinger.
To get real deep in there.
So, take a hunter's ed class because a hunter's ed class is going to teach you a lot about like the rules and the regulations and how to get started and what kind of animals. They don't really teach you much about hunting.
Right. They teach you about rules.
But they teach you about like what kind of animals are available and how to get involved in hunting them. They'll teach you about the clubs that are in your area that you can get involved with to learn more. I think a lot of people – let me back up before I say that next statement. I have taken a lot of people out over the years out predator hunting because it's something I enjoy doing. And again, when I was really involved with the clubs, I'd take a lot of like their novice hunters out. And most of the people I took out would say this exact thing. They would say, you know, I'm happy to be able to be out with someone who's a hunter because I didn't grow up hunting. You know, my dad didn't hunt or whatever. And these were people who would be aged anywhere from their early 20s to like their 60s and 70s, guys who had retired and were like, I need something to do. Gosh, I'd like to take up hunting, but I don't know the first thing about it. You know what I mean? And so they would come out and they would join the clubs and they would be novice hunters and then we'd take them out hunting. And so the interesting thing about that was a lot of people didn't grow up hunting. And more these days,
I did not.
They're not going to grow up hunting. I mean, you look out there at all the emasculated men we have in our country, they're not going to teach their sons how to hunt and teach them how to squeeze into their girlfriend's jeans as far as actually wearing them. See, it used to be getting into a girl's pants meant some loving. Now getting into a girl's pants means you want to wear them.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Actually, I do know how I feel about that. Frickin' stop.
Stop wearing girl pants.
Stop. Can we please go back to the other meaning? That was a good meme.
This is really quickly devolving in, from a hunting and how to get involved bashing in a conversation emasculated to men. Glenn hates men conversation.
No. I don't hate men. I hate emasculated men. Mm-hmm. Right? If you haven't yet, you should know exactly where your testicles are at all times. It's important. So
dropped.
So Hunter's Ed is important because it's going to teach you rules and regulations. So, and it's and in places like Arizona, it also gives you an extra bonus point for the lottery system we have for our big game draws. Mm. So that's nice. And it's good to know. Plus, another interesting thing is it may be required in your state. It's not required in Arizona, but I hunt in Colorado and Wyoming, and they are required there. Hmm. You have to have a Hunter's Ed card, not from their state, but from any state. You have to have a Hunter's Ed card to even purchase a license. So it's a good thing to go out and take a Hunter's Ed class and learn a little something about it. You know, education is a good thing. So that would be kind of something I would recommend even, John. You know, if you want to do more hunting, it's not a bad idea to go do it. And these days, it's pretty simple. I mean, you can even get online and take an online Hunter's Ed course. It's not – I would always prefer to do the in-person one, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do based on your schedule, I guess. So let's talk about firearms, because that's a big question I get a lot when people are asking about, I want to go hunting. So what gun did you take today?
I took my SBR.
Yeah, with a can?
With a can.
And a 1-6 variable?
Yeah, 1-6. Primary arms variable optic,
and this is your home this defense like go to primary carbine.
Yeah, this is my primary carbine.
Yeah,
this is the one I use when I teach all the time. It's the one I take out and go like it's my fun gun. Man.
It's the carbine you've had since you started working with me.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
Yeah, I bought that 6 years ago,
and it worked just fine. It was a good good choice.
Ammunition. I did forget to lube it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why that round was stuck.
Oh, did it hiccup?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
No. When we were
going back to the truck to leave.
I had to mortar that round out because I forgot to lube it this morning.
So
you do that a lot.
I do.
Yeah, your gun's always hiccuping because of that. Ammunition, you use some, 64 grain?
I'm not exactly sure what it was. I got it in a trade from something. A guy.
You're like, I have these soft points.
It's a body slaying round, so...
It works.
But I got them in a trade, and apparently they would have worked to great effect on those tiny little foxes had I been able to hit one.
We got to work on that next.
So I'll say this about guns and ammunition
selection. Shut up, Mason. You weren't even out there.
If you're a gun owner, you probably, and you have any kind of long gun, you probably have something that you can go hunting with.
Yeah.
If you have a 22.
You were out there with your shotgun.
Yeah. I mean, I had my pump 870 shotgun with an extra full choke and a 3-inch number 4 buck. That's what I use for predators. Yeah. If you got a 22 rifle, you can hunt. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the 15 M&P 15/22 from Smith & Wesson. It doesn't matter. But whatever it is, if it's a single shot bolt action 22 your granddad gave you, it doesn't matter. You got a 22, you can get out there and you start small game hunting. There's squirrels and rabbits and all kinds of little critters that you can start hunting with that. If you've got an AR in 223, now you can really take it up, you know, a notch. You can hunt larger animals. You can get out there and hunt javelina. You could hunt small, like, white-tailed deer. There's a lot you can do with that. You know, now if you've got something in 30 caliber, even close to it, I wouldn't even say 30 caliber. If you've got from 24 to 30 caliber, 243, 260, 270, 280, 308, 30-30, 30-06, whatever, 7.62 by 3.9. One of my buddies has killed every single deer he's ever killed in his life with an SKS. And he still hunts with it today. He's got an accurized SKS, and he loves it. He loves hunting with it. It's a good gun. It works for him. It's accurate. He likes it, you know? And there's
he's not going to be super sad if he falls and trips and plus dumps it down a ravine.
Doesn't have some bird's eye maple stock or whatever. He beats it up, and it gets beat up, and he's perfectly happy with that because it's a $300 SKS. But, man, he's done a lot of good things with it over the years. So you probably already have a gun that you can go hunting with. Now, that being said, it's really important to check your hunting regulations in your state. Because you may have magazine restrictions, you may have caliber restrictions on certain animals, you may have restrictions on certain types of ammo you can use. Like, for example, here in Arizona, you are not legally allowed to use any ammunition that was designed for military use. So, for example, the M855 or M193 round in 5.56 is not legal to hunt with. Now, you can hunt with full metal jacket. You could hunt with a 55-grain metal case full metal jacket from Remington in 223 Remington because that is not a round that was designed for military use. It's not recommended. Full metal jacket's not a good hunting round. But the point is that check the regulations, understand the regulations, know what they are. Here in Arizona, we have no ammunition capacity limitations except for migratory birds, and we have no what am I looking for? Restrictions on suppressor use, so you can use suppressors. There's a lot of cool things we can do. That may not be everywhere, so you might double check. That's a pretty good idea. Don't get out there and get yourself in any trouble. So if you don't have a gun, you don't need to worry about, oh my gosh, this is going to be a super expensive endeavor. I mean, I was in the gun store the other day, and I saw an H&R, one of their handy rifles, which are great guns, in 243 for like a little over $200. Let me take it back. It was just shy of $300. And I'm like, man, I was kind of tempted to buy it because I'm like, man, I like a 243. It was my first big game rifle was a 243. And so I'm like, man, that's a good round. I wouldn't mind having that. There you go, $300. You can slap a $100 scope from Walmart on it. Boom, $400, you got yourself a hunting rifle. And I killed my first elk when I was 12 years old with a 243. So people talk about these giant calibers that are needed. Every elk after that I killed was all shot with a 25-06. Like, you don't need giant, huge rounds to knock stuff down.
Shoot elk with a 300 win?
I mean, if you want, go for it. It's not definitely going to kill them. You're in business. But, of course, if you suck at shooting, it doesn't matter what caliber you shoot, it's probably not going to happen for you. You know, if you shoot anything in the guts, it's going to run for a bit. All right?
Yeah.
So the accuracy the accuracy part of hunting is a lot more important to me. And that's part of the reason I got away from the 25-06 is I got older and I had to start buying my own ammunition. You know, when Dad was buying my ammunition, I was like, whatever, Dad, let's shoot up all these boxes. I don't care.
Hell yeah.
But when I had to start buying my own ammunition, I realized pretty quickly, man, 25-06 is expensive. I'm not a reloader. I didn't reload my own. So I moved to 308 because there was a much wider variety and I could practice more. With 25-06, buying factory rounds, all I could buy was soft point ammo and it was expensive. And so I couldn't practice that much. But with a 308, I can buy surplus rounds. I can practice a lot with it. I can get comfortable with the rifle. I can get comfortable with how it shoots. And then I can end every session with, you know, a half a dozen, quote unquote, hunting rounds. And then that gives me the opportunity to be very, very confident where my point of impact is going to be with those rounds. But in the meantime, I'm just getting comfortable shooting the gun and shooting it from different field shooting positions and carrying it and working with it and all that. So I personally like calibers that I can use, you know, cheap. I can find cheap ball ammunition or some surplus ammo or something like that because it gives me the capability. Obviously, that's going to affect your zero. It's going to affect your point of impact. But, you know, I like to use that kind of stuff because it gives me more practice with the gun. So that's my own personal opinion on guns. But, you know, if you've got some 250, 3000 or 7mm 08 or something like that that you love, then great, use that thing. You know, I mean, it's just don't worry about running out and buying brand new guns. If you're just trying to get started, just get something that's going to get the job done and practice with it. That's a huge lesson that you took away from today.
Yeah, I gotta go and really figure out those holdovers, especially with that ammo with the suppressor on it, because I know that makes a difference, especially when I'm used to shooting at man-sized targets during training and stuff, and then now I'm shooting at, you know, like the something the size of a fist, and there's not a lot of room for error. So,
well, you've got something. I mean, like we saw all foxes today. So you got a fox with a vitals area about the size of a human fist, and that thing's moving around.
Well, except for the two that I shot at,
they were standing perfectly still,
standing stock still, bro. Chests, like front chest, just straight at me, like, come on, buddy, right here, here,
shoot
it is.
Me here.
It's here, it's here. Come on, you suck. All right, I'm out of here.
But you got a small target that's going to appear pretty quickly. You're going to have to get on it really quickly.
Well, it's like that first one.
You're going to have to hold over really quickly, and you're going to have to make that shot effectively. So, how you train for hunting isn't how you train. Like, I can't even tell you, man, how many guys I've taken out hunting over the years. I've taken a lot of vets hunting, and how many guys, vets and law enforcement, taking a lot of those guys out, and other type similar-minded shooters who they've trained a lot. They might have even, you know, shot, killed people, and they're all about, like, man, I can get it done, I can get it done. You're like, okay, so understand that you've got to know your holdovers, because even a coyote has a relatively small kill zone compared to what you're used to shooting at, and they're probably going to be moving, and it's going to be fast. That's the one thing I tell everyone. This is going to be fast. They're going to be here quick. You're going to have to get your gun up. You're going to have to get on target. You can't sit there behind your optic thinking about your holdovers all day. You got to get on that thing. You got to know where you need to be aiming. You're going to have to drop the hammer right now, and a lot of people struggle with that. I can't tell you, man, how many guys I've taken out like that who at the end of the day, they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed so much today. And it's like, dude, you have to know your gun better. You have to know exactly where you're going to hit from 0 to 50, from 50 to 100, from 100 to 150, whatever. Where exactly do I need to hold? And that matters whether you're shooting an AR or a 308 bolt or a 243, whatever it is you're shooting, you have to know. You can't just go to the range and zero at 100 and say, cool, I'm shooting a good group at 100 and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And you got to practice shooting from field positions. You know, we never shot from the prone today.
Nope.
We didn't shoot from the bench today. Nope. We shot from sitting positions.
Yep.
You know, so you got to get out there and
really
you shoot
comfortable
from those
sitting position.
It's always comfortable to shoot from that. I love it. So, let's see, we talked about camo. Transportation. You always want to have good transportation and make sure that it's set up so that the transportation doesn't ruin your hunting experience.
And buy a good pair of boots.
Yeah.
That's one thing. As far as equipment goes, don't ever buy cheap boots. Cheap boots only make you sad. Mm. I've never heard a human being that spent good money on a good pair of boots say, God, I wish I had spent less money on these boots. You know, like that's something to take into account here. If all you have are tennis shoes or something, go drop about $100 on a pair of boots. Unless you catch them on sale, you're not getting a good pair of boots for under $100. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Because then Merrells are kind of a go-to brand. They're super popular, super common, and the ones I wear are they're like their economy line. I think they were like $95. So
yeah, find good boots.
Go buy good boots.
Get good boots. I'm a huge fan of quality footwear. I've had too many experiences with poor quality footwear over the years. I'm all about good footwear. When it comes to buying boots, and this is one of the few times I do this, I don't even care what they cost. Like, it's one of the few times I will totally buy something based only on the product and not on the price.
Yep.
I don't even care what they cost. I'm like, these are the most comfortable boots. Ring me up. Because when it comes to boots, quality footwear, just makes all the difference in the world for pain all over your body. And all these people with like back pain and hip pain and shoulder pain and all this kind of stuff, you look at their footwear and they're these flat soled $20 shoes and you're like, that's
or
why
flip-flops.
Yeah,
or you can't, like, hunt in flip-flops.
That's why your body hurts, man. You don't have any support. But yeah, transportation, as far as boots quality, good socks. I love Darn Tough socks. I'm a huge Darn Tough fan.
Whammo.
So yeah, Darn Tough socks are important. Good footwear, good boots. I like Oboes, Ocelots. Used to be an Under Armour boot fan, and then they changed. I don't know what they changed about their boots, but I don't like them anymore. But I had a pair of Under Armour Speed Freaks for a long time that I absolutely loved. But now I'm a big Oboes fan. I've been wearing Oboes now for a while. Transportation, as far as your vehicle is concerned, make sure you get something that's not going to fail you. And if you have a vehicle that's kind of sketchy, make sure that you bring along things that you might need to fix it. Because the worst thing, and I've had it happen to me, man, the worst thing that happens is you get out there and you start getting flat tires or your engine, you know, has a problem that could be fixed. Obviously, you might have those breakdowns that you just, there's nothing you can do about it.
Stuff happens.
But, you know, if you have a major issue, you're out of oil or you rip a tranny line or something like that, you plug your transmission line in, but you don't have any more ATF fluid. I mean, like, those are the kind of things that you need to make sure you're carrying extra supplies with. Carry an extra spare tire. Make sure you have a real jack. Don't depend on that crappy little bottle jack, especially since you're going to be out in the woods where you might have really uneven terrain, stuff like that. Something to chalk your wheels with, you know. If you just throw a couple rocks in the back, fine. But something to chalk your wheels with if you do need to work on it. All those kind of things are going to be important. So make sure that you have good transportation. Now, one thing you talked about that I want to talk about is you said find someone who knows about hunting and ask them to take you out.
Yeah.
I will add one caveat to that. And that is make sure that their goals are also your goals.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point.
Because, like, when I go out hunting, I'm mostly out there to have a good time.
Yeah.
Not everybody is that way.
True.
Some people are out there to kill stuff, and they are not satisfied unless they kill stuff.
Yeah.
I'm out there to enjoy myself and be in the outdoors, and killing stuff's kind of a bonus. It all kind of, and it depends on the kind of hunting I'm doing. Like, if I'm doing predator hunting, and I am, because every now and then I'll still go into like a ranch or something like that to try to help them remove some problem predators. It's different. I'm not going to take a new hunter with me on a hunt like that. I'm there to kill stuff because I need that stuff removed. It's a problem and it needs to be taken away. If I'm just out having a good time, I'll take anybody. I'll take my kids with me. I'll take other people's kids with me. Like, I don't care. I'm just out there to have a good time. If stuff comes in, we don't kill it like today, I don't sweat that. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal. Now, if you're out elk hunting or something, like, you know, my son and I out, you know, a couple weeks ago getting after his elk. To me, I don't know. if we wouldn't have tagged anything, if he wouldn't have tagged out, I wouldn't have been like disappointed in him or anything. He got the chance to shoot. Mm-hmm. He got the chance to hike. He got the chance to hunt. We were out together for a couple of days. Like, it was all a great experience. The fact that he tagged out makes it even better, because it's not like not killing that elk meant that now we don't have food for the next 3 weeks or something like that. Like,
right, right.
We do still have grocery stores, so I still can't go take care of that. It just, to me, it's a lot more important to me to, you know, especially when I'm hunting like with my son, to get him out there and show him field craft and to teach him about the outdoors and to teach him a love of the outdoors and a respect for the animals that live there and a respect for, you know, like the general world that we live in. And so to me, that's a lot more of an important thing that he can take away than tagging out his elk. So you got to make sure that the person you're going with is going to have, because man, I have seen some fathers, I've been hunting with some father and son duos, and I've seen what some fathers say to their sons.
Oh, yeah.
When their sons miss a shot or something.
Well, it's like any other sport.
It's like, man, that ain't cool.
Any other sport that you see your kids, you see these fathers or mothers that are, you know, oh, I can't believe you missed that pitch, or I can't believe you missed that swing, or you totally
screwed up. You're never going to be anything if you can't do this.
I mean, you know, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Stop living vicariously through your kids. Just because you were a failure doesn't mean your kids are going to be.
Boom. Headshot. For me, it's like when we, you know, once he shot the elk, it's like, man, now all the work begins, you know. Now we got to quarter this thing out, and we got to cut it up, and then we got to pack it out, you know, and I'm the bigger guy. That means I'm packing it all out. And, you know, so all that kind of stuff has to happen. Now the work begins. But it was awesome to have him have that experience, to be able to actually kill something and tag it out. That was just a huge bonus. So I always look for hunting partners. Personally, I look for the kind of people who have the same goal as me. They want to kill stuff. Look, when I play a game, I intend to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And hunting is just another form of a game for me. It's another form of entertainment for me. When I'm going out there, I do intend to kill something. I'm not out there like, oh, well, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who, like, after a baseball game is like, well, we didn't win, but at least we had a good time. I'm, like, disappointed that we didn't win, but I still had a good time.
Right.
Right? It's, so you can feel both things at the same time. So when I go out hunting, like, I'm out there to kill something, right? But I want to make sure that my partner feels the same way I do. They're out there doing serious business, but if we don't get anything, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we're still going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not going to starve to death.
Yeah.
I don't think our friendship was ruined.
No. Yeah. I wasn't like, oh, damn it, John, you friggin' sucker, or anything like that. Like, it doesn't really matter, because I know what'll happen if I start talking to you like that. I've been there before. So make sure your partner has the same goals in mind as you do, but on both sides of it. And make sure that the person you select, here's the other issue. Recently,
don't go hunting with a douchebag.
Don't go hunting with someone who's just
well,
gonna
be
I'm
a out
jerk.
Then.
Yeah, that's why I don't take you hunting.
So, yeah, that's why.
My son and I went to this youth turkey hunting camp a while back. And it was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot about. I'm not a huge turkey hunter, so like it was fun. I learned some things, and we had a good time.
That was really good, John.
It was taking you turkey hunting. And so they paired us up with this hunter who was like supposedly this guy who is like a turkey slaying machine, and he was going to take us out and show us how to get the turkeys in and everything. And so I'm like, cool, man, let's go do this. You know, I'm an open mind. Let's go out, teach me. This guy was a nice guy. Okay. But that guy was way more interested in telling me freaking war stories about his life than he was in, like, getting us on a turkey. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if you're trying to impress me or something, but I don't freaking care. Like, is there a way you could teach me and my son a little bit more about turkey hunting? And then, like, at one point, he lost us. Like, we were walking along, and he was walking along, and then he stopped to take a piss or something like that. And I was like, cool, dude, we're just going to sit right over here, okay, and wait for you. And then when he like, took a zigged when he should have zagged coming back and like lost us. So after we chilled, like I took like a 20-minute nap and Mini-Me was like chasing birds or whatever. And I wake up from my nap. And I'm like, dude, where is that dude? Did he die of a heart attack or what? We go look, like he's gone. And
so I take a constant poop.
I'm like, all right, man, I guess we're just going to walk back to the truck. So we start cruising back to the truck and he's there. He's all worried. Oh my gosh, where'd you guys go? And I'm like, you're an idiot. Where did you go? Like, you don't have simple freaking woodsman skills to go back along the same path you just came down. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, man. This hunt's like,
you're dumb.
I'm about getting to the end of my rope with this hunt, you know? And, it just make sure that the person you're going to go with, like, just because they have killed some things does not make them, like, this really skilled hunter or a good teacher. You know, he might have been a turkey slaying badass. I don't know. But he couldn't, he didn't teach us anything. I didn't learn anything new from him. And we didn't really have that good of a time. I mean, I appreciate his time that he did give us, and we drove around in his truck and everything, and you know, but it just, I don't know, man. I just was not super impressed. So make sure if you are going to select someone to go out with, because a lot of people are like, oh, they know that guy at work who's always talking about he's deer slaying badass, or he's killed all these critters, or he hunts whatever, and you know, he's always bringing in game meat sandwiches or whatever, and everyone's like, oh gosh, you're such an awesome hunter. Make sure that that guy actually knows what he's doing and that he can actually teach you to do something. Like, you don't want to get out there and all he wants to do is tell you war stories about all the animals he's killed, and he's more interested in impressing you than teaching you something. You know, because that's an important thing too.
That works for a lot of things, not just hunting.
Indeed it does.
A lot of instructing is like that sometimes.
Indeed it is. And then make sure that you're willing to do some scouting. Put some effort into this whole thing and learn. I mean, with the internet now, man, there's no reason that you shouldn't have some good information about getting out there.
I did nothing.
And how? Yeah, you pretty much didn't. You just relied on me the whole
time.
Now,
if only we could find a way to, like, transplant my bed into the middle of, like, nowhere, and then I could just lay on it and shoot animals if they walk by it.
We could bring a cot.
Yeah, we could bring a cot and have you shoot critters. Done. I could have shot both the foxes I shot today. I could have shot them from a cot.
Done.
So make sure that you go out and you do some scouting beforehand. Like, get to know the area. Get familiar. Get some maps. Don't get lost. Get some maps. Get out there. Know some field craft. Know how to take care of yourself in emergency. Go out and learn a little bit about how to deal with a gunshot wound or a falling injury. Learn how to deal with some life-threatening type injuries. You know, learn how to start a fire. Learn how to set up a quick camp. You know, get to know, like, some basic field craft skills before you go out there so the search and rescue doesn't have to come save you. You know, make sure that you have some
basic
skills.
Yeah, or don't. Do everybody a favor. I mean, I guess.
Or don't, and go ahead and take your place in the natural selection.
Yeah, it goes back to caveman skills.
Go back to caveman skills.
When caveman became useless, caveman left.
That's right. But the most important thing, I think, that everybody can take away from this is have fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Do you have a good time this morning?
I had a blast.
I had an awesome time.
I'm actually excited to go again.
I mean, all the time we spent together, we've done a lot of things together over the years.
Yeah, we have.
And we've never been hunting together.
No. Nope.
It was a great time to take you out and show you wildlife, and you got to see him come in. You got to see that whole. You got to experience it.
We had fox here. I've never seen one.
Yeah, most people don't.
Never seen one.
I googled one once.
You were looking for a different type of fox.
Oh, that would explain those pictures that I saw. Yeah.
You're like, this one's really hairy, but whatever.
7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Tail too long. Whatever. Wait, that one has a tail. Whatever.
This totally digressed.
Story of Mason's life. So, yeah, have fun. Go out and have fun. Hunting is fun. If you're not having fun when you're hunting, then you should stop.
Yeah.
Try a
different kind of hunting.
Enjoy it. Yeah, try something. There's so many different types. There's small game hunting where you can go chase rabbits and birds and squirrels. There's like stand hunting where you can call animals in like we did with predators, you know, where you sit there for 12, 15 minutes and you try to call them to you. There's, you know, spot and stalk hunting like with deer where you get up on a high point and you look and you glass sometimes for hours and you find them and then the fun's on. Then you're trying to sneak. You're trying to, you know, use the natural terrain and everything to your advantage and trying to put the sneak on them. You know, there's long range hunting. If you like to shoot stuff far away and you're good at it, you spot them up and you know, laser them and get all set up in a good shooting position and make that long range shot. There's all kinds of different stuff. There's pretty much a way to hunt depending on if you have a short attention span, then like, you know, rabbit hunting or bird hunting or something like that's good because it's high action.
Squirrel.
You know, squirrels. Squirrel hunting is great for low attention span people because squirrels, you go into a good squirrel spot, man, there's squirrels everywhere, and you get to shoot a lot.
Pew, 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 pew,
go out and just have a good time.
How many
time.
Squirrels it take to make a decent squirrel sandwich, you're saying?
About 4. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, you can have a good meal with about 4 or 5 squirrels per person, of course. But get out there and hunt. Get out there and hunt. If you are anti-hunter, go out and experience it before you make up your mind. And go out with someone who's good. If you go out with like the, you know, beer drinking type hunters who just want to get drunk in the woods and fall around and shoot everything that moves.
Shoot each other.
Then you're not going to have a good experience and you're just going to further reinforce the negativity. But go out hunting with somebody who wants to have a good time and go out hunting with someone who wants to teach go find that person. You know, join a local hunting club. Go to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Go to the Quails Unlimited. Go to Ducks Unlimited. Go to any of these many, many organizations that are out there and join them or go to some of their meetings. There's tons of, like, there's a great mule deer thing here that's based out of, like, a Christian church. Go do something like that. Those guys will hook you up with the right person.
We should start a foundation called Kill the Donkeys.
Kill the Burros.
Kill the Burros.
Oh, my dreams. One day.
This portion of the show brought to you by PETA.
By the Arizona Wildlife Foundation.
All right. So get out there and hunt. Share John's experiences, you know.
It was fun, man.
Go out and have fun. Don't be afraid.
That's all it's about.
If you have questions, ask us. I love to get people started in hunting. I love. If you're a dad who wants to take your kid out hunting and you don't know where to start, please email me. If you're a mom who wants to get your kid out in hunting and you don't know where to start, email me. I love.
If you're anything in between and you want to take
any,
your child.
If you basically want to get started in hunting and you don't know where to start, please email us. info@trainingaz.com. I will absolutely give you all the information I can. I think hunting is an important part of your life. All right.
Next show.
What are we talking about next show?
John can write it down.
Yeah, write this down. So you got to look it up once. Okay. All right. We're going to have Janelle from ProMag/Archangel in the studio with us talking about all of their new products, their move to Arizona, which happened a little over a year ago. So she's going to be talking with us about that and some of their new products from ProMag over there and just kind of tell us a little bit about what they got going on these days. So take a look at that show next week. Be a good time. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.